אתם מאזינים למיקלי ועד כוש, שיחות גבוהות לאנשים עם שאיפות, בהנחייתם של דני בראונשטיין ויעיר רביב. הנה זה מגיע.
אהלן, אהלן, מעניינים מהם.
ארצנטן.
הכל מעולה, מה איתך?
אני שמח וטוב לב ומתרגש מאוד לקראת הרעיון שיש לנו.
כן, אורח מיוחד יש לנו היום. בורי שרנסקי, גילוי נאות, עבדתי איתו בשנתיים האחרונות ועדיין עובד איתו. בוריס הוא הסמנכ"ל תפעול ואחד המקימים של חברת פאפה אנד ברקלי ופאפה סלקט. פאפה אנד ברקלי, למי שלא מכיר, זה המותג המוביל בקליפורניה, לקרמים ושמנים שמכילים קנאביס, הן THC והן CBD או קנאבידואידים אחרים. הם כבר עושים את זה משהו כמו 4 שנים אם אני לא טועה. לאחרונה, לפני קצת פחות משנתיים, בוריס החליט שהוא פותח תת מותג בשם פאפה סלקט, שבעצם מייצר את השמנים הכי איכותיים בשוק, לטעמי לפחות, גם לעידוי או לעישון וגם לאכילה. אתה רוצה לדבר משהו על השמנים האלה?
כן, בן אדם מתעסק במיצועי קנאביס בכל מה שנוגע לפאפה סלקט, מיצועי קנאביס שהם ללא חומרים ממיסים, או שהוא עובד עם ה-high-end, הוא מתחיל אותו כבאבל הש, בעצם מסנן, הוא מפריט רחומת מהצמח לידי שימוש במי קרח, ואחרי זה הוא עושה פרס, ויש לו עוד, כאילו עוד ליין של מוצרים שהוא מכין אותו מראש כרוזין, שזה אומר שהוא בעצם לוחץ בחום קנאביס דרך רשתות ומוצאים את החומרים הפעילים ללא שימוש בחומרים ממיסים. מה שמאוד הרשים אותי זה הבאבל הש שלו, לפי מה שהוא טוען ולפי מה שראיתי בתמונות, הוא מוציא מוצרים מאוד מאוד נקיים ברמה מדהימה על ידי שימוש במיצוי במים, וכל מי שנמצא אי פעם במים, שכמעט כל מגדל עשה את זה, יודע כמה שזה קשה להגיע לתוצאה כזאת, לא בלתי אפשרי, אז מרתק. בואו נאזין לזה.
אוקיי, בורי שרנסקי.
Today I have the pleasure to host Bori Sharansky, who is the COO and co-founder of Papa Select and Papa and Barkley. Pleasure to have you, Boris.
Thanks for having me, Dan. It's a pleasure to be here.
So let's start with an easy one. What is Papa and Barkley and Papa Select?
Papa and Barkley and Papa Select are both brands of cannabis products in the California legal cannabis market. Papa and Barkley is what we call wellness. So we carry topicals, tinctures, capsules, patches, a lot of oils and lotions that help you feel better, take away pain, take away inflammation. And then Papa Select is a high-end connoisseur. It's a play on the word connoisseur, connoisseur, like cannabis, a connoisseur brand of hash or hashish, but a very new way of making hash that has come around in the last 10 years or so, called live ice water hash. So it's like bubble hash that many listeners may be used to, but we process fresh plants, not cured plants, not dried plants.
And what's the advance of using fresh plants instead of dried or cured plants?
Well, from a process standpoint, there's many advantages for the farmer and for the processors. It's cheaper in labor. But more importantly, from a quality standpoint, there are terpenes, which are the flavor molecules in cannabis. So when you smell a different strain, you'll have a very strong profile of scent for that strain. That translates to, you know, a great experience. As we say, terpenes drive the ship of the cannabis experience, and THC and CBD are the engine, while terpenes drive that ship. So those terpenes are very volatile chemicals, which means they evaporate when you dry the cannabis. So if you ever smell a live cannabis plant versus a cured cannabis plant, you'll see there's even the same strain, there can be a very distinct difference in smell. That's because the sweetest, the most volatile, the most exciting terpenes in that live flower actually dry out and evaporate when you dry the product. So when you do process fresh product, you're capturing every single molecule of smell and every fresh cannabinoid, the freshest of the fresh fruit, basically, from the plant, rather than, you know, drying it down. Think of it as, you know, using fresh herbs as opposed to dry herbs.
Good. And how come it's cheaper to process it?
Cheaper from a labor perspective. The product itself is very expensive because when you process it on our side, like when we actually wash it, we actually do a bubble hash process, which means we mix the flours with ice water and ice, and we agitate it that way. When we do that, basically the flour gets frozen. And if you see a close-up of a cannabis flower, there's little trichomes. They look like little mushroom heads on top of the flower. That's where all the medicine is. And so we're basically breaking those off, right? That's a very delicate process. That's actually quite laborious and takes, you know, hand touch. Many things can be automated if you use chemical extraction processes, but this is what we call a mechanical solventless extraction. The processing side there is expensive, but for the farm, is actually, you know, closer to 30 to 30% cheaper in labor to harvest the plant. Because when you harvest and dry, you have to harvest, you have to cut, you have to dry, wait 2 weeks, you have to have the space for that. You then have to bring that down and trim it. That's hand trimmed. You usually have to pay $150 per pound of hand trimmed cannabis, or you have to invest in the machinery to trim it. It takes weeks and weeks and weeks to process through hundreds of pounds of cannabis. On the other hand, for a farmer growing fresh cannabis and selling it directly to us, we go there, we have a freezer truck, we buck down the big leaves, we cut off the nugs, and very fresh, we just drop it in the bag. The whole idea is don't touch it. You just touch the stem and cut everything off. That gets put into a bag, frozen immediately, and that's what we use. We don't have to trim it further. We don't have to dry it further. We don't have to cure it. There's no extra process there. So usually from a labor perspective, you can save up to 30% comparatively pound for pound.
Nice. So let's talk about concentrates. Seems like they are booming in California in various shapes, form, and uses. Please give us an overview of this category. What are cannabis extractions and what subcategories are available in today's market?
Yeah, so when you think of extraction, people get confused because people talk about, you know, butane and CO2 and ethanol and solventless. What you have to remember, the goal of all of these processes is to extract the fruit of the cannabis plant. And if we've all seen a bud, the fruit is actually not that bud. It's not the plant material, not the green that you see. The fruit are the crystals, right? Those are the actual fruit of the plant. That's where you have all the cannabinoids and the terpenes. Any extraction process is really just trying to extract those specific trichomes as much as possible and leave behind as much green material, chlorophyll, plant matter as possible. So, you know, the origin of the concentrates game was really just simple hash extractions, you know, dry kief, which is something, you know, I mean, in Israel, that's where I first smoked cannabis, and the first cannabis I smoked was hashish. And so, you know, hashish, people are very, very familiar with it. And that's the old school method of just drying the cannabis, taking it through a sifter, basically a screen, taking all the powder, collecting it, pressing it, and then that becomes a hash. Nowadays, what we do is we can introduce solvents. So that could be a CO2, an ethanol, or a butane under the right conditions. So pressures and temperatures, all of these are liquids. And when they are liquid, they basically strip the plant of all those trichomes. Those trichomes melt. The oil melts into that solvent. You take that solvent out, and then you evaporate the solvent out through different chemical processes. And what's left behind is just a pure extract of the oils in the cannabis plant. That is the most of the ways that people do it is CO2. CO2, the reason is it's the most cost efficient, some would say. I would argue that, but we don't have to get into details. But most people will process a CO2 extraction and then put that extract into a vape pen, or you process other types of extractions like butane, ethanol, or mechanical that I was talking about before, and those can go into a dab. Or those can go into you can put them on top of a bowl. You smoke them basically either at high temperature or low temperature.
So some reports mention the decline of flower sales in California. I read 50% or even 40% of total sales in legal stores these days. On the other hand, vape pens and other extractions are on the rise. So what made this category be so popular in recent years? And what are the advantages using extractions rather than using straight flowers?
Well, discretion. I mean, let's just start with vape pens. vape pens had a meteoric rise and continue because of the discretion. You know, you can take it out anywhere. There's minimal smell. People do it in the restaurant bathroom, for God's sakes. You know, nobody knows, right? And so with cannabis, especially with flower, it smells so much, right, that I love it. And if you're with weed friends and cannabis friends, it's awesome, right? But if you're around the general public, many people are still taking it back, or, you know, they don't like it. And so I think for that reason, discretion alone, vape pens have made a huge meteoric rise. I think what you've seen in the last couple of years, especially in the last 12 months, we saw a 63% increase in solventless sales, right? So rosin and hash. And so that's really because of these higher end mechanical extraction and live flower extractions that we've seen. And what you can get there is there's some great electronic devices that have opened up the market to people that are not just these connoisseurs, or what I call heady people, people that really know cannabis, might have a rig that's, you know, a bong that's $1,000 with a special crystal bowl for an extract. You know, that's a lot of money to spend to get into the extract game. But now, you know, there are pens for under $100 that you can put some wax in. There's the Puffco Peak, $300 to $400, which will get you into, you know, an experience that's very close to what we call dabbing, right? Yep. And
for the listeners who are not familiar with dabbing, can you describe dabbing?
Yeah, so it's gotten kind of a bad notation. I hate the word dabbing. I prefer low temperature vaporization. But nonetheless, dabbing is what people call it. And what you do is you get an extract of cannabis. So what I was talking about, either butane extract, an ethanol extract, or what Papa Select creates, which is what we call ice hash, or when you press it, that becomes rosin. And we can talk about that later. But a dab is basically taking a small amount of that concentrate. Remember, like maybe a little tiny spoonful, I would call it 0.1 gram, right? 0.1 grams or something like that is a healthy dab. And you put it on in a bong, basically, but in a special bowl that's glass that's been heated prior. So you heat it with a torch, or you heat it with an electric nail or something like that. But basically, you get the nail hot enough to about 500 or 600 degrees Fahrenheit. And then you drop that concentrate in, and what happens is it immediately melts and vapor starts to come off of it. And then you smoke that like any regular bong. So think of your old school pipe or water pipe. You put some flower in there and you light it. This is the same idea, except you make it very hot first. You drop the extract in and then you smoke it. This experience compared to flower gives you much more flavor. I mean, right off the bat, just an incredible amount of flavor, because the temperature for dabbing is much lower than the temperature for combusting flower. So when you're smoking a joint, for example, you're going to smoke and feel a burnt smell, a burnt taste, right? But if you do a dab at the right temperature, you will only smell and taste the terpenes of the cannabis plant and get a much higher concentration of THC or CBD, depending on your concentrate, in one inhale, right? Some people say the right size dab is about equivalent to smoking a half gram joint by yourself.
And no plant material and no paper, so just like the clean and just the like volatile materials and cannabinoids.
Exactly right. Yeah. You know, no paper, no plant material. The highest of the high end is what's called 6-star water hash, which has some plant material, but it's really just the membranes around the trichomes. If you're able to extract it perfectly, like we do sometimes, it's a completely white powder. It's all crystals. And that is our small little trichome heads that are frozen. When you heat them,
you get white powder from water extraction?
100%, yeah.
Whoa.
It's fun. So when you do a water extraction, not all strains, some strains are darker, right? But like a great strain is, for example, is a THC bomb, which we won first place at Emerald Cup with our water hash with that. When it comes out, it's completely white. That's only in a cold room. So we process it completely frozen. And so when it comes out, it's literally like think of those little trichomes on the plant, and then think of them completely frozen. So they're like little tiny crystals, and we have them on this huge tray. If you look at our Instagram at Papa Select, you'll see a lot of pictures of it. And
the
tray
link to your Instagram.
Yeah, that if you look at that, you'll see, and we post a lot of pictures. It comes out just like sand. That's what we call 6-star water hash. It's like white sand, because when you smoke it, to answer your question, there is some plant matter, but the only plant matter is literally that outside membrane outside the trichome that melts down. And it becomes a little bit green when you smoke it, but that's about it. That's what, you know, that's the highest of the high end that people look.
So speaking of which, and you mentioned a few products of Papa Select, what type of extractions or oils does your company make, and what makes you different from your competition?
Well, so we, you know, early on, we had a lot of access to Israeli research, and we actually tried to even partner with some Israeli cannabis companies to do some medical studies on some of our products, because we've devoted ourselves to full spectrum, which means we process all the available cannabinoids and terpenes in the plants. So we do a test, we see what's in there, and we make sure that any of our infusion or extraction process captures the same ratio of cannabinoids and terpenes as we had in our original plant. That's full spectrum. Many people do that. There's other extraction methods where you can do that. The second part of that puzzle is solventless or mechanical extraction. Our entire product line, from Papa & Barkley Wellness Products to Papa Select, is processed either doing dry keef methods, which is basically taking dry flour and sifting it through screens to get powder out, and using that keef, then we press it. And what we mean by press it is there's a new technology in the last few years that's emerged called rosin pressing.
Yep.
And you basically take a sock and you put all the hash in there. Yeah, and that sock has, it's a sock that can have little holes in it, right? It has, it's a micron screen sock. And so when you press it between two hot steel plates with pressure, it breaks all the trichome heads inside that hash. It keeps all the plant matter back, but it oozes out a beautiful oil. We use different grades of that oil in all of our products. So at, you know, on our wellness products, we use a dry sift material. On our Papa Select products, we use a water hash material processed with fresh flour. So we have sort of the low end for products that don't necessarily go inside your body and you don't smoke. And then at the high end, anything that you're actually inhaling into your lungs is processed with the cleanest method at the absolute most purity without any solvents.
Is it low end because of the use of heat and you lose terpenes?
It is low end because it's cured, remember? So when it's cured, we're losing a lot of those terpenes in the curing process. And also, yes, we're pressing it for volume. And so we're using higher temperatures on the presses. And we are losing some terpenes in the process. And it's a darker oil, right? When you process fresh material, it's a much lighter oil.
What temperature is considered low and what is considered high in rosin?
When you're pressing?
Yeah.
So, you know, 160 to 180 Fahrenheit is low, and then anything 220 and above is probably high. Remember, when you get close to 240 Fahrenheit, you get close to decarboxylation, which we don't want, because then we're not only destroying volatile terpenes, we're also decarboxylating the THCA, and that kind of gives it a funky smell, and you know, it's not as much fun to smoke after that. So for any of our select rosin, we press at low temperatures for longer periods of time. And you'll see it's just a very slow press. We have to pre-press it. You have to treat this material very gently because the last thing you want is a blowout, because it's very, very expensive material.
So Boris, you mentioned the shift of a few vape pen brands to solventless and the live resin oils.
Mm-hmm.
What made the shift happen from the first place?
I think once people start saucing, and saucing is basically a process where you can take a sticky extract and make it viscous, so you can make it flowy, right? It's more like an oil, and that's because you separate the terpene layer from the THC layer. You can make crystals out of the THC, crystallize the THC, and basically an oil rises to the top of the crystals, which is rich in terpenes. That is very conducive for a vape pen. Previously, a rosin's, they do a process where if you keep it out too long, it butters. It does have some more plant fat in it, so it actually will change over time. It may come out from the freezer completely clear, but then over the course of a day or two, it will become buttery and sticky and kind of hashy, and over time, it'll actually become crumbly, like hash that listeners may be used to. But now with the saucing technology, to actually, you know, change the viscosity of these oils, now they're fitting into vape pens. Now, live resin, which is processed with butane, those are much easier to sauce than solventless. And the reason is they leave some butane gas inside the oil, which creates more pressure within the container where they do the sauce process. And that leads to a much stronger separation of the oil from the THC crystals. So BHO or butane extractions are much better for vape carts right now. But companies like mine, there's other solventless companies that have already released some solventless vape pens, which I don't really like yet. I think the technology is not there yet. I think we're burning these oils. But there will be within the next 12 to 18 months something that works very well in a vape pen form with solventless.
If you use solventless, there is still a difference in the end product that causes it to burn.
Yeah, exactly right. You can't, when you're separating the terpene layer, when you're saucing and during the process, because there's extra butane in the oil when you process it with butane, that butane inside the jar is continues to escape the oil and create extra pressure inside that jar. And when and the whole idea to separate the THC crystals from the oily sauce, the way you do it is by increasing the pressure within a vessel. And so that butane naturally is able to increase the pressure within the vessel. When you process rosin, there's no residual butane in that oil. So you have to really create a lot of pressure inside a small vessel to create the sauce. It just, it's a little bit harder than dealing with BHO. So for now, there are some solventless pens out there. I would argue that once you, they're very expensive, and once you smoke through maybe a quarter to half of them, you start tasting very burnt oil.
So what, you use actual physical pressure? Like you have like a jar that you can squeeze more and more?
Well, you use vacuum oven and heat. Yeah. Okay. But because it's a sealed jar, even though you're using heat, some people would argue that's bad for the extract. But because it's a sealed jar, nothing escapes. So the any terpenes that get off-gassed get reintroduced into the oil because the jar is sealed.
So we spoke about present times. Let's speak about the future. 5 years forward, how do you see this category evolving, and what are the business opportunities that we will see in this time frame?
In specifically extracts, right?
Yep.
So I think extracts will, you know, continue to grow a bit. I don't see them taking over the market, right? I don't see vape pens necessarily taking over the market. There was the vape gate last year, right? People are still concerned. But I expect hardware to become better. Right. That's the mitigating factor. That's the bottleneck right now, is that the hardware is not good enough for the quality of extracts we have. And the hardware that is good enough for it is way too expensive to be a first way in for a consumer. So I think over the next 5 years, we're going to see, I'm hoping we see some breakthroughs in hardware for solventless technology. But I think you'll see live resin really take over the market. It, you know, whereas before you had shatter or butter or batter, and these came from either, you know, keef runs of BHO or flower runs of BHO, I think processing fresh flower will become the way of the future for extracts. It's much more delicious. The terpene quality is insane. And if you look at, you know, Colorado is a great example. You know, their high end is solventless, so ice water hash and rosin, and that's sort of a $70-ish retail price point. And then you'll see live resin going for $30 to $40 across the board. So I see something like that happening over the next 5 years, of solventless mechanical extraction being the high end, and then sort of having the low end being different grades of live resin. I don't see us doing a lot of cured extract runs down the line. I don't see why there would be a prevalence of that.
You said it can actually disappear. Like there's no reason to do like cured runs. I don't know.
I think
like
it'll become
CBN
a smaller part.
Or something like that.
Yeah, I think it'll become a smaller part of the market, and I think it will just be relegated to vape pens, right? As I'm hoping, as technology improves on how to actually consume extracts or how to consume solventless, we'll move towards those types of technologies and those pens. And if those pens, you know, once you try something solventless, and if we can get the right price point, which is another thing I see in the next 5 years, is price points coming down. Not for the next two or three, but definitely within five. Price points for fresh flower coming down, price points for dried cured flower coming down. If people can afford solventless and they can spend the same amount they're spending now on something that's solventless or a live resin from BHO, I think no doubt they're going to take that over a cured cartridge any day, or a CO2 cartridge that's been re-terped.
Speaking of which, are you producing any oils for edibles?
We are. We produce oils for edibles, and actually Pop & Barkley just launched their edibles line. We have gummies, vegan versions and non-vegan, but all sugar-free, and they're dry-sipped infused, so they're hash-infused gummies. And we're coming out with chocolate that's going to be rosin infused, I believe in October.
So do you think that the edible category is also going towards solventless oils rather than CO2 or ethanol?
No. I think that's the future for CO2 or ethanol is going to be edibles. I think it takes a commitment to do solventless in edibles. I wish more companies would do it. But since most are not doing it, that's really where we find value for our brand, is to continue doing, you know, keeping ourselves to the highest standard. Our mission is to unlock the power of cannabis to improve lives. And we truly believe that focusing on mechanical solventless extractions is the best way to do that. It's what we call best in class. But no, I don't see the rest of the market in edibles moving to solventless. I think it takes dedication. Kiva did it and has continued to do it with their chocolates for the longest time. But scaling solventless, as they would tell you and as we would tell you, is not easy because most people are not doing it.
That makes sense. So I want to move to some personal questions, if you don't mind. I'm very interested to know, how do you consume cannabis today? Although I think I know the answer. And what are your favorite products?
So I consume in two ways. I take massive amounts of CBD, and I take that through capsule form. So that's the Pop and Barkley CBD caps.
When you say massive, well, how many milligrams do you take a day?
I took 240 today, this morning. And so, yeah, I have.
Does it replace your cup of coffee in the morning, or just in addition to it?
No, it's in addition to my cup of coffee and my dad. But no, my 200 milligrams of CBD goes towards my psoriatic arthritis. I have pretty bad inflammation as a result of that, and it helps control my inflammation. But mostly, Papa Select, one of the reasons you start a company like that is because you appreciate consuming at the highest end of cannabis. And so I absolutely love ice water hash. I think that's the holy grail for me. And I absolutely love rosin and rosin sauces and what we're doing with solventless. So if I'm consuming, it's my CBD capsules or my ice water hash and rosin. Very rarely, something like this weekend for 4th of July, a few spliffs made it into my hand here and there. But more times than not, it's my dab rig and my capsules.
Which is your favorite Papa Select product or strain?
Well, anything we do with papaya, but anything any company does with the papaya strain of cannabis is phenomenal in my mind. But if I'm looking just at strains that only we have, I love our THC bomb. We won first place with that at the Emerald Cup last year. It's amazing. And that's more of my sativa lined one. If I go for more of an indica one, that would be our garlic cookies. Our garlic cookies is phenomenal from Emerald Queen Farms.
I agree.
It's called garlic cookies.
Well, it's actually called GMO, but you're also allowed to call it garlic cookies. I don't like putting something on the market called GMO. Yes. But garlic cookies is another name for it. It's a very funky smell and flavor.
What, like diesel-y?
It's more a lot of OG Kush in there, but it literally tastes like garlic. Some people call it garlic, mushroom, and onions. Like it's kind of that kind of flavor coming out of cannabis. It's weird, but it's very pungent. It's very potent. You know, it's very stony, like, and it's consistent. So a lot of strains, you know, you smoke them a lot and then they don't affect you anymore. Garlic cookies is never like that. It'll always hit you exactly how it's supposed to hit you.
To our Israeli listeners who don't understand the potency of the Californian products, what is the, you know, overall potency of live resin and rosin that you guys produce and you are consuming?
It's a great question. So if we look at just THC, THC is anywhere from 72 to 80% THC in these products. If you look at total cannabinoids, anywhere from 85 to 90%, because we are pulling a full spectrum. And if you add in terpenes, it's over 90% terpenes and cannabinoids. So it's as pure of a product as you can get without going to, you know, an isolate of THC or an isolate of CBD.
And that's in solventless?
That's in solventless, yeah. I think our garlic cookies was in the close to 80% THC and then close to 90% total cannabinoids. It's pretty crazy.
Amazing. So speaking of funky smell, what is your favorite artist or album of all times?
Of all time. I'm very boring, man, and I'm gonna get some hate from true Israelis on this one. But I like Modest Yahoo, shoot me. But I do like him. If I look at all time, that's not all time. That's just nowadays. But all time, I'm a Bob Marley and Pink Floyd guy. I'm very boring. I'm very predictable. But you put on Bob Marley for me or Pink Floyd, I'm a happy guy.
I think both are great artists.
And I think in terms of album, it had to be Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd, because I think it's the one album I've listened to more times than any other album.
Speaking of which, have you listened to the reggae version of Dark Side of the Moon?
No, but now I'm going to look it up after this.
Yeah, since you listen to Bob Marley and Pink Floyd, I think you should definitely listen to the reggae version of it, and I'll be sending you some copy of it later.
That's cool.
So other than your own company, who else in the industry excites you the most?
That's a great question. Well, 710 Labs impresses me a lot just because of their scale and their commitment to quality. I have a lot of respect for what they do. It's really hard to create that much hash and to manage the distribution of it, and they do a great job with it. Blue River Terps and Adavesa Wellness, really Blue River, Tony over there, mm-hmm. He's been doing amazing things for years. I mean, he's a legend in the cannabis industry, and his devotion and commitment to solventless, he has patented processes, he builds his own machines. I have a lot of respect for him. You know, those would be two major ones for me. In terms of the rest of the industry, it's hard for me because I have such a deep love for our brand. I really think in terms of wellness, there's no one out there that does it as well as we do. But if I had to pick someone, Carter Aromatherapy Designs, CAD,
okay.
He's been around for as long as I can remember. He puts the top quality flower and extracts into his topical products. It's not always solventless, but dude, that guy knows his shit, and so I'm very by him. And those would be my top guys.
Nice. Definitely will check them out later.
What traditional hash is your favorite?
Oh, charas. Oh, I love that shit. Oh my god, it's the creaminess of Indian charas. I will tell you, I paid 1,000 shekels for a fucking tola in Israel. 1,000 shekels just because it was charas and it was creamy and delicious. I will never.
What year was it?
Oh shit, I'm gonna embarrass myself. It was like 2009 or 10, something like that. It was too much money. It was like $250 or something. It was crazy. I couldn't
think
believe
it. It would be the same price today. For charas, I think it would be the same price.
Yeah, it's tough to get. It's usually the Lebanese stuff, which I never like to buy because it's kind of, you know, it's kind of supporting Hezbollah if you buy it. So I would try to find the nicer stuff, but it's hard. It's hard in Israel. At least it was.
What is the first tip that you'd give an entrepreneur who thinks of starting their own brand in the cannabis industry, whether it's here in California or otherwise in Israel?
Oh, well, in Israel, it's different because your rules are so different. It's so pharma focused. But if I were going to say here, there's a lot of tips, but if you're just looking at a brand, I would say the why is more important than the what. I mean, that's, I think that comes from some TED conference I heard at some point, but why you're doing what you're doing is so much more important than what you're doing. Like if it's just pre-rolls or whatever it is, every product has a competitor, right? You have to, when you go in to speak to the cannabis community, the industry, the dispensary manager and owner, you have to tell them why you're there. And it can't just be, well, because my joints are better than the other guy's joints, right? Like you have to have a story and you have to have a passion for this industry, because this is not a money grab. You know, this is a hard industry. We've gone through ebbs and flows, and, you know, this is still federally illegal to do. I mean, I'm technically a felon because of what I do, right? So I would say you have to have a passion and you have to have a good answer for why are you here, right? That's why early on for Pop and Barkley, we all felt the passion for advocacy. We had all advocacy backgrounds in cannabis, but we also had a passion for creating an industry and supporting this plant in a way that, you know, honored it. And so that's why we really believe in unlocking the power of cannabis to improve lives. And anytime you see me in any interview, I always mention that. That's why I'm here. That's what we do. So why is much more important than the what. The what is easy to figure out once you know why you're here.
And how you got there? I mean, what brought you into the professional cannabis business? I mean, what was your route?
My route was very unconventional. it's a long story, but since I got diagnosed with psoriatic arthritis, I was looking for solutions for myself. Through my own journey, I came to find CBD, and I started taking, I used to smoke it. Now I just take extracts and capsules. But this was early on in 2011, 2012, when a lot of companies in Colorado were just starting to experiment with CBD strains and starting to breed and starting to understand, you know, what is hemp and what is not. Then we had the 2014 Farm Bill, which quasi-legalized hemp CBD. It's arguable, but it did, and Colorado created an industry. Because I was there early on, I knew all the players that started. And so just because I was supplying for myself, then I started supplying for families with children who had epilepsy in Iowa. It was a pretty strong journey for me just to see the effect of medical cannabis on others. I knew how it helped me. I never understood how it helped others. And that was definitely transformational for me. And after I had that experience, I became a hardcore advocate. I, you know, went to conferences. I spoke at conferences. And eventually I met one of my co-founders of Pop and Barkley at the CAN10 conference in Tel Aviv in 2015. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that's actually how I met Eli Gordas, who's one of the co-founders of Pop and Barkley. He was speaking on a panel there. I took him aside afterwards and we hit it off. And a couple months later, I was helping them plan the launch of Pop and Barkley in California. So that's how I got actually connected into Pop and Barkley in California. And I moved my family out in 2016 to help start the company.
And you have some family in Israel too, right?
I do. I have a famous name in Israel. So Natan Sharansky is my uncle, and I'm sure he'd be so psyched that I'm on a half podcast dropping his name. But I have a strong connection to Israel. I consider myself a Zionist. When we left the Soviet Union in 87, we lived in Israel for 2 years. I'm a citizen. My parents continue to live in Eilat, so they are very blessed, and that's where they've chosen to retire. So I go there a lot. I was there last year in June for 3 weeks, and I was going to go again this year, but unfortunately, you know, COVID happened, and now we're all stuck.
Awesome. So Boris, before we wrap up, how can people find you? Are you raising any money? Are you recruiting any employees? Any last words for our Israeli listeners?
Yeah, well, look, if you're in California, we post everything on LinkedIn and Indeed. We are recruiting right now for a head of sales. So that is an active position we're looking for, and you can, you know, apply through either one of those mediums. But in general, if you just want to follow us and know about us, at Papa and Barkley on Instagram, at Papa Select on Instagram are the best places to connect with us. You can sign up for our newsletters at our websites as well, and you can link to our websites from both our Instagrams. You can follow me on Instagram, B. Sharansky. Tough to find, but Papa Select frequently links to me, so you can find me through there. And I'm happy to connect with anybody. If you have questions for me, I'm pretty easy to get to. The nice thing about the cannabis industry is that it's still young, and you know, we like to connect. We like to talk to people who are interested, who are passionate about this plant. So reach out, say you heard me on the podcast. I'd love to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Boris Sharansky. It was a real pleasure to host you.
Absolutely, Dan. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate the time. Thanks for giving some light to awesome hash.
טוב, בורי שרנסקי, היה רעיון ממש מרתק. מה אתה אומר?
כן, זה מדהים, ממש מעניין. אהבתי את הגישה, אהבתי את השאיפה למצוינות, אני מת לנסות את המוצרים שלו.
בשאיפה, שבגלל הקשר הישראלי החזק, ועם פעמי הלגליזציה הבאים אלינו לטובה, אני מקווה שנראה את המותג שלו בארץ הקודש בשנים הקרובות, כי אני חושב שזה באמת מותג שיכול לתרום גם לכם, למטופלים שנמצאים בארץ, לכלכלה בארץ, זה באמת מותג מוביל פה, שאני חושב שנשמע עליו עוד הרבה בשנים הבאות.
אני הייתי רוצה שיהיה פה מוצר כזה בארץ, אפילו רק כדי להציב סטנדרט של איך מוצר פרימיום צריך להיראות, ומה הוא צריך לתת.
חד משמעית, ואני מדבר גם על מוצרי השמנים והקרמים שמייצרים, חברת האם, פאפה אנד ברקלי. אנחנו נראיין גם עוד כמה פרטים.
מוצרים שאתה משתמש בהם?
קודם כל זה גם מוצרים שאני משתמש בהם וגם מוצרים שההורים שלי משתמשים בהם ואשתי משתמשת בהם, זאת אומרת זה מוצרים שגם אנשים, אני רוצה להגיד מתנגדי קנאביס ואנשים שלא משתמשים בקנאביס באופן מסורתי כמו שאנחנו מכירים, מאוד נהנים מהמוצרים האלה, גם כי יש באמת מגוון יחסית די גדול שמתאים למגוון של תופעות, אם זה פסוריאזיס או גירודים כאלה ואחרים ואלרגיות, וזה באמת פותר הרבה מאוד תופעות שנמצאות על האור, תופעות רפואיות. אז אתה יודע, מבחינתי, שוק קסום שיכול לפתוח הרבה מאוד אנשים לקנאביס, הרבה אנשים שלא השתמשו בקנאביס, ומצד שני גם לעזור להם לפתור את הבעיה הרפואית שלהם, בלי להרגיש מסטולים או בלי להרגיש היי בכלל.
כמה המיתוג שלהם הוא מוכוון קנאביס? כאילו אם עכשיו אני סתם רוצה לפתור את הבעיית פסוריאזיס שלי ואני רוצה קרם והמליצו לי על הקרם שלהם, כאילו כמה אני יודע שזה מוצר שהוא של קנאביס?
קודם כל אתה תדע, כי כל הקרמים שלהם הם מיוצרים או עם שמן קנאביס או עם שמן המפ. יש להם גם ליין שלם של מוצרי המפ שנמכר בכל ארצות הברית.
זה נוכח במיתוג?
זה נוכח במיתוג, כן. זה נוכח במיתוג כי בכל זאת הם מתגאים שהם מביאים full spectrum oils. בעצם דיברנו על המשמעות של full spectrum, להביא את הצמח כמו שהוא, רק בצורת שמן. אז הם מדגישים את זה מאוד חזק בחומרי השיווק שלהם. אין אחת החברות היחידות שכל המוצרים שלהם הם full spectrum.
כמה אתה חושב שהצרכן הממוצע מודע למה זה full spectrum? או שכאילו זה רק אנשים שמכירים את התחום בכלל מגישים למוצרים שלהם?
תשמע, אני חושב שההצלחה שלהם זה שילוב של גם צרכנים ידנים שמכירים ומעריכים full spectrum, אבל גם אנקדוטות וסיפורים שעברו מפה לאוזן על מוצרים שפשוט עבדו. אני יכול להגיד לך שלפני שניסיתי את המוצרים שלהם, ניסיתי עוד שניים או שלושה מותגים אחרים שלא עבדו בשבילי כמו שצריך, או שהיו חלשים יותר מבחינת הפוטנטיות שלהם. אז כן, אתה יכול לקרוא ביקורות אונליין גם באתר שלהם וגם באתרים אחרים ולראות שפשוט המשתמשים מרוצים. חוויית המשתמש היא טובה, המוצר גם נראה טוב, גם מריח טוב וגם ארוז טוב, ואני חושב שזה חשוב מאוד. ותסתכל על האריזות שלהם אונליין ותסתכל כמה יפה הם אורזים את המוצרים שלהם ומה הגישה שלהם ללקוחות. אני חושב שזה החלק מהסוד שגלום במותג שלהם. עכשיו כמו שאמרת,
תמיד צריך לשמוע שיש מוצר שמנצח בזכות האיכות, זה תמיד
אז זה מבחינתי השילוב המושלם בין איכות לבין מיתוג ופאקג'ינג נכונים. אתה יודע, בגלל זה הם מצליחים, בגלל זה הם מספר אחד במה שהם עושים בשוק הקרמים והשמנים. בשוק המיצויים הם עדיין לא מספר אחד, והם גם לא מתיימרים להיות מספר אחד, כי זה שוק די גדול, והם עדיין בוטיקים בגודל שלהם ובכמות שהם מיצויים שהם מייצרים.
לא, הם הולכים גם לנישה של הנישה.
כן, זה נישה שהיא פרימיום, היא יקרה יותר, רוב המוצרים שלהם נעים בין $60 ל-120 דולר לגרם, כמו שאתה מבין זה לא מאוד זול, אבל שוב אני משווה את זה לוויסקי האיכותי או ליין האיכותי שאתה שומר לאירועים מיוחדים, יש גם את אותו חשיש או אותו רוזן או רזן, שאתה לא מתפנק עליו ביום יום אלא שומר אותו אתה יודע, למשחק הדורגל עם החבר'ה או ל... לא יודע, מסיבת טבע כזו או אחרת, או הופעה, אבל באמת האירועים מיוחדים, אז אני חושב שזה חלק מהקסם של התת מותג שבוריס הקים, ובוריס הקים אגב את התת מותג הזה במו ידיו, זאת אומרת זה היה הרעיון שלו, קונספט שלו וביצוע שלו.
אני ברגע שמשחרר את הקורונה הזאת, אני אומר לך, אני הולך לעשות נסיעת טעימות בקליפורניה.
כן, אתה מוזמן לבוא, נוכל לעשות טיול בין האורחים שלנו.
טיול בין אורחים, וואי, זה אדיר.
אתה רוצה קצת לחזור בקצרה על מה דיברנו עם בוריס, על הנקודות העיקריות?
הוא נתן שם מידע שהמאזינים כבר בשלב הזה די צריכים להיות מודעים לו של מה זה טריכומות, מה זה קנבינואידים, מה זה טרפנים, ומה אנחנו בעצם רוצים לצמח כשאנחנו עושים מיצוי. דיברנו על זה כבר בפרקים קודמים. מה שהוא עושה, כמו שהזכרת, בעיקר דיברנו על המותג של המיצויים שלו, זה שהוא מוציא איכות מאוד מאוד גבוהה של חשיש על ידי שימוש בסינון מים ופרס בחום. מעבר לזה דיברנו על מה זאת השאיפה למצוינות בתחום הזה, לאן הוא רוצה להביא את זה ולמה זה צריך להיות בכלל קיים, כאילו, המצויים האלה, כאילו, לאיזה שוק הוא פונה.
בנוסף הוא גם הזכיר שהם יושבים עם ליין חדש של edibles, די מיוחד ויחיד בסוגו, בעצם אחד המותגים היחידים בקליפורניה שהיום משלבים רוזן, שדיברנו על רוזן, בתוך המוצרים האחידים שלהם. כמו שהזכרנו בפרק הראשון, ברוב המוצרים האחידים משתמשים עדיין בשמן CO2, שהוא נחשב קצת פחות איכותי מבחינת הספקטרום שלו ומבחינת כמות הקנבידואידים שנמצאת בו.
יש לו כמות גבוהה של קנבינואידים, אבל אין בו טרפנים בכלל.
נכון, נכון. ובעצם פאפה אנד ברקלי יוצאים עם ליין חדש של גם גאמי ברז וגם שוקולד שמואשר ברזין או ברוזין.
הם עושים נאנו מוסטיפיקיישן?
עד כמה שידוע לי לא. אני לא חושב שיש נאנו רוזן, עד כמה שאני יודע, זאת אומרת בתעשייה, אבל בכלל כל מה שקשור בנאנו טכנולוגי והפאסט אקטינג אדבול שדיברנו עליהם בעצם למאזינים שלו מכירים, אכילים שמשפיעים בזמן קצר יותר על המשתמש, בניגוד למוצר אכיל ממוצע שלוקח בין 45 ל-90 דקות עד שהוא מתחיל להשפיע על הגוף, מוצרי הנאנו מתחילים להשפיע אחרי 10 דקות רבע שעה, ויש כבר גם מוצרים אכילים וגם השקעות בשוק הקליפורני שמכילים את אותה טכנולוגיה. קודם כל זה עדיין טכנולוגיה חדשה, ובגלל שהיא כל כך חדשה היא עדיין יקרה יחסית, אז כל מוצר נאנו שאתה קונה עדיין עולה בערך 30% יותר ממוצר מקביל שהוא לא נאנו.
השאלה גם אם התהליך, אם השמן הזה היה הופך, עובר איזשהו תהליך של נאנו מוסיפיקציה, אם זה עדיין נחשב רוזין.
שאלה טובה, נוכל לשאול אותו בשיחה הבאה איתו.
או מישהו אחרי שמתעסק בנאנו אימוסיפיקיישן, שהייתי
שמח לשאול אותו יותר. נכון, נראיין מישהו מחברה שנקראת ורטוסה.
דרך אגב, אתה יודע מתי יהיה דיברז מתחילים לעבוד, נכון?
ברגע הכי לא נכון.
לא, כשאתה אומר שהם שווים לתחת. עד אז, כלום לא קורה.
כן, ברגע שאתה מלכלך עליהם, אז הם מתחילים להתחמם עליך, וכן. לא, אל תתעסק עם אלה בו, זה לא... הם מתהפכים עליך וזה לא כדאי. זה היה בורי שרנסקי, אנחנו מקווים שנהנתם מהפרק וממה שהיה לו להגיד. אנחנו נמשיך לדבר על מיצועים, בגלל שזו קטגוריה בעצם, צריכה להיות הקטגוריה המובילה בשוק, אז אני מרגיש שנדבר על זה המון, גם עם שחקנים ישראלים חדשים שנכנסים לשוק, וגם לנסות לעודד את הממשלה אצלכם, לאשר מיצועים, או פשוט לפתח את הנושא הזה, כי באמת אצלכם זה קצת...
לא לפתח, אני חושב כאילו דוף אחרי אנשים שעושים את זה.
כן, אבל למה עדיין רמת המיצועים בארץ כל כך נמוכה או כמעט לא קיימת?
זה לא מוצר ששווה להם להציג, אני גם חושב שמבחינה חוקית, בגלל שיש הגבלה על אחוז ה-THC שאתה יכול לתת במוצר, אז אתה לראש לא יכול לתת את הדברים האלה.
אז זה צריך להשתנות, אני חושב. אני חושב ש...
ברור שזה צריך להשתנות, אבל קודם יש... וואו, יש כל כך הרבה
דברים
שצריכים להשתמש
על מפני... לא, וזה לא קשור ללגליזציה לשימוש פנאי, זה קשור יותר למטופלים ולצרכים שלהם, כי היום אם מטופל הוא צריך לצרוך מנה גבוהה של קנאביס, לצורך העניין 150, 200, 300 מיליגרם, והוא צריך לצרוך את זה דרך תפרחת, זה לוקח המון תפרחת בשביל לצרוך את הכמות הזאת.
אתה אשכרה רוצה להתחיל לרפא פה אנשים? מה אתה זורק פה שטויות כאלה, שאנשים יתחילו לעשן פה ולעדות שמנים?
הם
התחילו להרגיש יותר טוב
ושאשכה קנאביס
יעזור להם?
אז כן יאיר, אני איבדתי את הפיניות ואני באמת רוצה שלמטופלים יהיו את כל המוצרים שהם צריכים, סביבם, זמינים. מגיע להם, לא? לכל הלומי הקרב וחולי הסרטן. ואני יודע שהלומי קרב, סתם נתתי דוגמה של הלומי קרב וחולי סרטן, כי אני יודע שבמקרה הזה שניהם לוקחים מנות יחסית גבוהות של THC. אז אתה יודע... זה קצת חלמאות לתת לשוק רפואי לפעול, ומצד שני לקשור אותה את הידיים, ולא לתת להם מטופלים את מה שהם באמת
צריכים. אתה יודע שכאילו הטיפול בשמן היחיד שיש פה, תלוי בכל אותם אנשים שמכינים שם לקסימפסון למטופלים. זה לא שיש לך שיקים מיצועים איכותיים, וגם היה איזשהו מאבק משפטי, בכלל האנשים אותם עשו לעשות את השמנים האלה.
אז בוא, זה צריך להשתנות יאיר, זה לא יכול להישאר ככה, ובוא נחפש אורחים שיכולים לשנות את המצב הזה, כי זה פשוט לא הגיוני שהמטופלים סובלים ולא יכולים לקבל את השמנים שהם צריכים. נקודה.
זה היה בוריס שרנסקי, תודה רבה דני.
תודה לך יאיר.
תודה שהאזנתם לתוכנית. אם נהניתם ממנה ומהאורחים שהבאנו לכם, נשמח אם תדרגו אותנו בחמישה כוכבים. כל דירוג או ביקורת חיובית יעזרו לנו להמשיך להביא לכם את האורחים הכי שווים בתעשיית הקנאביס. יש לכם הצעה לאורח או נושא מעניין? נשמח לקבל בקשות והצעות לגבי נושאים או אורחים שמעניינים אתכם, המאזינים שלנו. אנא כתבו אלינו ל-fromcalitokush@gmail.com fromcalitokush במילה אחת, @gmail.com. אל תיקחו את האינפורמציה שמוגשת בתוכנית כעצה רפואית או עסקית. יצרו קשר עם הרופא שלכם או כל גוף רפואי מורשה, אם אתם מעוניינים לצרוך קנאביס לשימוש רפואי. התוכנית נעשית מתוך אהבה ותשוקה אמיתית לצמח הקנאביס. אך אינה מעודדת קנייה לא חוקית של מוצריו. תודה על ההזנה, משתמע בקרוב. צ'או.